management, or other sponsors. It's time for the Edge Broadcast with your host, Daniel Ott. You can join Daniel and his guest as we discover the truth together. Within the continental U.S., call toll-free 1-800-996-9638 or click on the Fast Blast link on the Edge Broadcast website. That's toll-free 1-800-996-9638 or click on the Fast Blast link on the Edge Broadcast website. You can find out about our guests and topics by logging on to the Edge's website, theedgeam.com. That's theedgeam.com. And now here's your host for the Edge Broadcast. Here's Daniel Ott.
Now let's go to our newsmaker line and see if Dr. Stan Montese. Doctor, are you there?
I certainly am.
Well, welcome to the Edge Television Broadcast.
It's good to be with you, Daniel.
Well, I never knew of a time where it is more important to find out the effects and the hidden agendas of what's going on, because there is so much information, misinformation, and misdirection coming at the American people as well as people worldwide, that it behooves all of us to do our due diligence to discover if there are forces or groups or entities or otherwise behind this mad march toward insanity. And I think everybody can agree what's going on in the last year and a half is total insanity, whether it's market insanity, mortgage insanity, you name it. Every facet of civilization seems to be coming unhinged. Doctor, before we begin and get into the secret society's aspect of this, why don't you just briefly go over your bio or how you got involved with secret societies or the research of it?
Well, I was trained as an orthopedic surgeon. I practiced orthopedic surgery for about 35 years in a beautiful seaside community called Santa Cruz, North Shore of Monterey Bay. Mm-hmm. I graduated from the University of California, took a minor in history, and I was in medical practice for a couple of years, 1962, when I turned into the wrong television program and I heard somebody talking about how the media in America was controlled, how America wasn't a democracy, it was a republic, how our government knew Fidel Castro was a communist and intentionally brought him to power, and of course that we were moving towards a one-world government with the destruction of the sovereignty of our nation. Mm. Well, you know, things happen in a strange manner. I didn't intend to watch the program, but every time I wanted to get up and change the channel, and why I suddenly had to go back and sit down and listen more, mm-hmm. I got intrigued. I began doing research. Of course, I had graduated from the University of California with a minor in history. I really thought I was pretty smart. Took me a long time to realize I'd been lied to by my college professors. America is not a democracy, it's a republic. And all the difference in the world between a democracy and a republic. Our government leaders did know that Fidel Castro was a communist. They brought him to power, and they've kept him in power all these years, because you always have to have enemies. And I know this to be a fact. I eventually interviewed the American ambassador to Cuba at the time of the revolution. His name was Earl Smith. Mm-hmm. You can get his book called The Fourth Floor, or you can get my interview with him in an interview available through my website or my 800 number, 800-544-8927. It's called World Revolution, and you can see my interview with Earl Smith, who was a billionaire, who actually was the American ambassador to Cuba at the time of the revolution. He'll tell you, we knew Fidel Castro was a communist. That's why we brought him to power. And, of course, we've kept him in power ever since then. He is a close friend of David Rockefeller's daughters. They go down mm-hmm. to visit him all the time. You can determine that by reading David Rockefeller's memoirs. They're written in 2002 by David Rockefeller, the most powerful man in America, the leading capitalist, the man who created the Trilateral Commission, the permanent honorary chairman of the Council on Foreign Relations, mm-hmm. the former chairman of Chase Manhattan Bank, mm-hmm. a permanent member of the Bilderbergers. And in his book, he will tell you how his daughters are such good friends of Fidel, and Fidel comes up to visit David. And of course, people don't understand. It's all a scam. almost everything going on in the world is a scam. Well, yeah. I've been studying this for 47 years. It took me 20 years before I began to realize there really were secret societies, and behind those secret societies were powerful spiritual forces. Mm-hmm. And now, for many years later, after being at this for 47 years, I've come to have a real grasp of what's going on, and I hope many of your listeners want to listen to our radio programs. Get educated and join us in this epic struggle for the souls of men and the survival of Christian civilization.
Mm-hmm. I would say that it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out that there are definitely forces at work here. They seem that they're unstoppable, but yet every once in a while we get a point of sanity reference where we think there may still yet be a chance. And frankly, I think most people that peruse the internet are free thinkers. They're learning now to bypass the national media. And so there really is a great opportunity for people to research and find out whether these types of conclusions that there are secret societies, that in fact there may be evidence for that, and we want to discuss some of that evidence tonight. But right off the bat, we have a question for you from our live chat. A listener wants to know, are you a member of the Council for National Policy?
No, I did belong to it for a time, but I left it because although it was formed initially as a counter to the Council on Foreign Relations, eventually it was taken over by the Council on Foreign Relations, and it supported all of the bad things the Council on Foreign Relations was advocating, and so I simply quit going and resigned from the Council on National Policy because, of course, it had been compromised, as most of our conservative organizations and liberal organizations and Christian organizations right. have been infiltrated and taken over.
Mm-hmm. I would say conservative organizations are liberal and liberal organizations are whacked. Is that
I would not argue. We could argue with conservative and liberal. They really have no meaning today. No. In fact, certainly the distinction between the Republican and the Democrat Party, right and left, these are terms that are used to confuse us.
Mm-hmm.
We have to
right.
understand that those people who believe in freedom, support the Constitution, and those people who want an mm-hmm. all-powerful government are in total control today. Mm-hmm. But what people have really missed is the fact that there are powerful spiritual forces mm-hmm. are behind the people who control our government.
Mm-hmm.
And
okay,
the ultimate goal is a one-world government, mm-hmm. a one-world financial system, a one-world religion with the destruction of Christianity, and installing a one-world ruler. Mm-hmm. This is what it's about. It's going at a fantastic rate. They are transferring the manufacturing jobs and the factories and the wealth of the American people to other countries. Here we're having to borrow $3 or $4 billion every day to just pay our bills, and we're providing foreign aid for nations throughout the world. Does anybody ever ask yourself, why are we doing that, or why do we have American troops in 132 nations in the world and bases, 750 bases throughout the world today? Why? Simply because we have an empire, and America's wealth and America's military power are being used to install puppets in every country in the world who go along with our plan mm-hmm. for the world government.
Okay. Okay. All right. We have this question here from California. Is the Protocols of the Learned Elders of Zion real or fake? Are you ever heard of the Protocols of the Learned Elders?
The Protocols of the Learned Elders of Zion. And it is really, of course, a key to everything going on today, because if you read the protocols, it's exactly what's happening. But the question is this really a Jewish document, or was this devised by the occultists to conceal their existence and to shift the anger of the people and the public upon the Jewish people? And I would suggest this is the cause. Basically, there's a wonderful book. It's called Warrant for Genocide. It's written by a Jewish scholar named Norman Cohn, who will tell you that the protocols were written by this world occult movement that I talk about to shift blame away from them. There was actually three books that were written by James Webb. The Occult Hierarchy, The Occult Underground, The Occult, I forgot the third one, but there were three books. He was a Cambridge scholar who mysteriously died shortly after he completed writing this trilogy, that said exactly the same thing. The protocols were actually disseminated mm-hmm. and throughout the world, and actually were disseminated here in the United States by Henry Ford, who was deeply involved in the occult. Most mm-hmm. people don't know Henry Ford was involved with theosophy and spiritualism, mm-hmm. and he put out the protocols to shift attention away from the secret societies he was affiliated with and focus the attention on the Jews. Mm-hmm. When I went through Colonel House's papers, Colonel Edward Mandel House, the key occult figure during the early part of the last century who actually controlled Woodrow Wilson and controlled Franklin Delano Roosevelt up until House died in about 1936, when I went through his papers, I found a copy of the protocols, but a different translation than anyone that's ever been seen here in this country, and I suspect that it was very close to the original translation that was then sent to Russia in 1905, because Colonel House was operating at that time. He actually took over control of the Democratic Party in 1913, mm-hmm. so he was around in 1905 when they sent the protocols to Russia. They were translated into English, then they were transferred into Russian, then they were transferred back into English. Why? There was a different translation available in America. They were available in Colonel House's papers, and Colonel House loved to leave clues, and he left that clue so that someone sometime in the future going through his papers mm-hmm. would begin to understand his tie to the occult mm-hmm. and the people who wrote the protocols of the learned elders of Zion. We actually have that.
Okay.
We were able to we spent weeks there at Yale University, Sterling Library, getting the information mm-hmm. about Colonel House, and one of the most important things was his version of the protocols of the learned elders of Zion. Incidentally, Colonel House hated Jewish people.
Really? Ah, Jew hater, huh? By the way, several in our live chat wishes you a warm welcome, Dr. Monty.
Well, I'm glad I hate to have a cold welcome.
We posted a link up on the in your bio section just as sort of a precursor of what you're about in one of the interviews you gave with Alex Jones on Prison Planet.
Right.
You've been on there before, right?
Well, I've been on with Alex, yes, many times.
Right.
And
okay.
I've had Alex on my program. He's okay. doing a great job of waking people up.
Okay. Well, right. And so I want to make sure the link was correct because it is there. But some... Every once in a while, we'll get somebody who says that Alex Jones is in on it, sort of like a reverse psychology type of thing. Do you find him to be on the right side of the issues, or is he a plant from the government?
I think he's doing an excellent job, and I commend people to listen to Alex. He has an entirely different approach than I do. He's very emotional. He'll get your adrenaline going, and but his information is accurate. It's good. He understands the globalist agenda. He's one of the few people who understands the population control agenda, and he brought that out beautifully in his DVD on the end game.
Yeah.
There really is a plan to kill off most of the people in the world, and
well, I wonder
they're in the process of doing it, and few people have any idea that their lives and the lives of their loved ones are in jeopardy today.
Okay, well, Doctor, let me ask you, do you sense in any way that the Obamacare health plan is maybe in any way be used to expedite the removal of more useless humans?
Well, I refer to it not as the Obama health plan, but as the Kevorkian health plan.
Kevorkian.
And I hope all your listeners will start referring it to it as Dr. Kevorkian's health plan. Because basically, Ron Emanuel, of course, he's the chief of staff of the Obama administration, mm-hmm. his brother, Dr. Emanuel, basically has written extensively for mm-hmm. a think tank, which is supported by Dr. Kevorkian mm-hmm. and supports Dr. Kevorkian's positions on euthanasia.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, of course, the Obama health plan is going to simply get rid of the useless eaters. There's no mm-hmm. way you can increase mm-hmm. coverage for everybody in this country. And, you know, provide the same quality of health care.
Well, I'll tell you, Doctor, that goes back even further. That goes back to the movie, Scrooge, in which the Scrooge character said that the world could be better if they would decrease the surplus population. So maybe even before, maybe that's where what Kevorkian grew up watching. But let me ask you on this Emmanuel, guys. Is he the guy with the deep, dark, black, sunken eyes? Looks like somebody.
Well, no, there's Ron Emmanuel. That's the chief of staff.
Yeah. Who's that guy? Looks like a skeleton running around there with the big black eye looking deals.
I already can't tell you who you're speaking of.
Okay. All right. So you're suggesting then that it's not necessarily Obama's plan, but now is Obama, was he put into office by the secret societies or by the election?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And basically, you have to understand the Trilateral Commission. The Trilateral Commission controls the American government. How can I say that? Well, because Barry Goldwater, in his book With No Apologies, written in 1979, talked about the Trilateral Commission. I think it's on page 280. And Barry Goldwater said that, I mean, the Trilateral Commission is international. Their goal is to take over the financial and commercial interests of the world. And then he goes on to say, by first seizing political control of the American government. Now, the Trilateral Commission was organized by Zbigniew Brzezinski, mm-hmm. who incidentally is the chief behind-the-scenes policy advisor for Obama.
Yeah.
But Zbigniew Brzezinski in 1973 organized the Trilateral Commission. By 1976, the first trilateral president.
I never liked his accent, really.
Beg your pardon?
I never liked that man's accent.
Anyway, first by 1976, why Jimmy Carter and Walter Mondale, both members of the Trilateral Commission, took office in 1967. Mm-hmm. And between 1966 and the year 2008, every president of the United States and or vice president of the United States is a member of the Trilateral Commission, mm-hmm. has never had more than 100 North American members. Mm-hmm. How could that possibly have happened by accident?
Yeah.
Three of the four mm-hmm. chairmen of the Federal Reserve System during that time have been members of the Trilateral Commission.
Let me ask you, Doctor, do they allow you to be a member of Skull and Bones and the Trilateral Commission at the same time?
Well, I'm sure you do, because mm-hmm.
There's
an overlap. There's certainly an overlap of these various organizations. Mm-hmm. Certainly, Skull and Bones is a Luciferian organization. Mm-hmm. Anybody who wants to see the Luciferian initiation can go to WilliamHKennedy.com. That's WilliamHKennedy.com. And somebody risked their lives and snuck in and took videos of the initiation where the future presidents of the United States, and the United States senators and people at every level of our government.
Yeah,
there's never more than 50 in a year.
Yeah.
But they actually bow down before a replica of Lucifer when they're initiated into Skull and Bones.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but we had William Kennedy on the show.
Well, he does a good job.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But let me point out that the Trilateral Commission really controls our government today. Certainly, there are 12 of the 87 Americans who are in the Trilateral Commission at the present time in the North American chapter. 12 of them surround Obama. They are his chief advisors, head of his National Security Council, chief of security, secretary of the Treasury. I think there's five or six of them in the State Department. They control our government, as they always do. So the Trilateral Commission controls the government, but what everybody has missed is that behind the Trilateral Commission are powerful spiritual forces. And we have a talk. It's available through our ministry. It's called the Financial Armageddon. It's exactly how they created this whole financial collapse. And then as we tell you about the Trilateral Commission, we tell you about how they control the financial and banking system and the media in America. But then, of course, we go into a group called the Lucius Trust. It used to be the Lucifer Publishing House. Two people who've been affiliated with that organization, Corrine McLaughlin and Gordon Davidson, who is her husband, write an essay on Barack Obama. And they will tell you that for years, people within the occult movement have been praying that Barack Obama would become the President of the United States. You have to understand, they pray to a different God. And you cannot understand anything going on in America today unless you understand that there is another God. These people have embraced the Gnostic beliefs that Lucifer is the true God and that the God of the Bible, that the Christians and the Jews worship, is simply an inferior God. And these people tap into this supernatural power that's out there. Mm-hmm. That is why they have such great wealth and great power.
Where is the throne of Satan?
I haven't the slightest idea.
So it's not.
But it is in the other dimension. There is a spiritual dimension, and until people understand there is a spiritual dimension, this is what UFOs and crop circles and all these mm-hmm. supernatural things are about. This is what true fortune tellers and channelers and mm-hmm. astrologers and diviners. They are contacting, if they're legitimate, and many of them are. They're contacting the other dimension.
Yeah.
And that's how, of course, they are can be clairvoyant. Of course, we're told in the Holy mm-hmm. Scriptures to avoid this sort of thing. Mm-hmm. It is not imaginary. There really is a supernatural realm, and there are people who have actually crossed from one realm into another. And, of course, suddenly you get into people like J.P. Morgan, the richest man in America during the early years of the last century. He was deeply involved in astrology. Andrew Carnegie, the great steel magnate, deeply involved in the occult. Henry Ford was involved with both theosophy and spiritualism. The people who created the secret society from which the Council on Foreign Relations comes were deeply involved in the occult. Most people have heard of the Council on Foreign Relations. Most people, though, have never carefully read the book written by Bill Clinton's mentor, which is titled Tragedy and Hope, The History of the World in Our Time. And I know a certain amount about that because I spent a lot of time studying Quigley's papers back at Georgetown University. But this book came out in 1966, and it was so good that somebody immediately bought up the publishing house, Macmillan, and destroyed the plates to the first half of the book. And if anybody doubts that, we have an interview I purchased from Professor Quigley's widow, where you can hear Professor Quigley tell the story of how they actively suppressed his book. And why did they suppress his book? Because he talks about the secret society created by Cecil Rhodes that came to dominate England and came to dominate America. And in 1921, the Council on Foreign Relations was established here in the United States as a front for J.P. Morgan and the small American roundtable group, and of course you read the book, you find the roundtable ties into Cecil Rhodes' secret society. Rhodes was a Mason. His right-hand man, Lord Milner, was a Mason. His third man was a man named Williamstead, came out of theosophy and spiritualism. This whole movement, which became the Council on Foreign Relations, is founded in the occult, and its ultimate goal is a one-world government. And to install that one world leader. Nobody's going to tell you these things, and any effort to get this information out is thoroughly suppressed, and that's why I appreciate so much an opportunity to be on with you and begin to bring together all these secret societies, the Masons and the Rosicrucians and the Theosophists and the family, and there are a myriad of organizations which we cover in my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, that's the Brotherhood of Darkness, and it ties into finance and banking, and it ties into the great tax-exempt foundations. And even what most people don't understand is that communism is founded in the occult. And that is why, behind the scenes, our leaders have financed communism since its inception. That is why, prior to the Second World War, American corporations were over in Germany building the war materials for Adolf Hitler. Because the same spiritual force, occult forces that energized Adolf Hitler were energizing people in the United States at that time, and still do.
Wow. And so you've been researching this for a long time, and have you actually seen any of these secret meetings take place, or have you just sort of heard about it?
I've never been invited. I don't know why, but I've never been invited.
Have you ever thought about sneaking in?
I've talked to people who come out of the occult. One of my best friends is a channeler. People would come from hundreds of miles around who hear him expound, but he wasn't expounding. A demonic spirit came and took over his body and would speak to him.
Really?
Fortunately, he's become an evangelical Christian and renounced that sort of thing.
So,
but there really are people who've come out of the occult. Mm-hmm. Some of them have died, and a few of them appear to have survived. So, but believe me, I know people who've tried to speak out against this, and they've been carted off to prison and told if they ever again told the truth, they would spend the rest of their life in prison. Hmm. I know the leader of one of the major conservative organizations.
Okay, so Doctor, let me ask you something about, you've mentioned several times about the occultic and the spiritual connection. Do you think that there are occult practices going on in the White House?
Well, we know that when Hillary was there, she brought in, I believe it was Jean Dixon, to conjure up some spirits of Eleanor Roosevelt and certainly Mahatma Gandhi. We know that when Ronald Reagan was in the White House, not only was his wife deeply involved in the occult, in astrology, but Ronald Reagan was.
Yeah.
There's a book out there. You can get it on the Internet. It's called What Did Joan Say? It's written by Nancy Reagan's second astrologer, Joan Quigley, her first astrologer.
I'm wondering now.
Went to his... Just rewards, but of course, Joan tells how Ronald looked to her for advice to run the White House.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, people don't like that because most conservatives love Ronald Reagan. He said everything we believe. He was the greatest actor in the world.
He should have gotten
an Oscar, but he never did. But he was a great actor.
What he did get is dead. Let me ask something, though. Is Obama channeling Hillary's health care plan?
I cannot tell you.
I mean, there's a whole lot of channeling going on. Hillary
Mars did a program recently with the Alex Jones program, and Tex was talking about certainly the relationship between Obama and the occult. And I earlier mentioned how the occultists, the Luciferians, have been praying for years that Obama would be put in the White House. However, people don't understand it was not the occultists who put Obama in the White House. It was David Rockefeller's Trilateral Commission, which is founded in the occult.
Mm-hmm.
And you can go to their website, trilateral.org.
Mm-hmm.
That's trilateral.org.
Look carefully at their logo. Okay, do these commissions, trilateral commissions, Skull and Bones, Rosicrucians, do they ever send out hit squads to eliminate people who are exposing them?
Well, I don't know that the organizations do, but I know that the CIA does, and the people who are tied into the CIA are tied into all of these organizations.
Okay.
Certainly,
do you know,
for instance, that many people from the Skull and Bones go into the CIA, and the CIA has professional hit teams. I've talked to two CIA assassins. We actually interviewed them in a four CD set we offer called Deadly Assassins, and you'll hear two CIA assassins talking about how they were requested by the CIA to kill people. And, of course, we also go there into the murder of Sonny Bono, and then, of course, Ted Gunderson simply lists all the people that we can think of who've been hit by CIA or other hit teams right here in the United States. There's no question they killed Martin Luther King. How do we know that? Because there was a trial. Nobody ever heard of the trial, but the King family actually employed a lawyer, and they brought a suit against the man who was involved in the murder of Martin Luther King, who was employed by the mafia that was employed by the CIA to kill Martin Luther King. We have a four-tape set on the murder of Martin Luther King where you'll hear the people who were there at the trial.
Mm-hmm.
If there was a trial about the murder of Martin Luther King, was it never brought out by the media? Because the media is controlled. That's why people need to go to our website and get our material, the murder of Martin Luther King, out of John Fitzgerald Kennedy, and of Bobby Kennedy, and get our four CD set on Deadly Assassin.
Let me ask you something. You're convinced that the United States government assassinates people?
I'm saying that the CIA assassinates
people.
That
would be government.
There's a lot of good people in government,
mm-hmm.
but there is a dark element within the CIA. They do black operations. That's what they do. And they hire people to kill people. Well, you can go back to the Church Committee hearings. I think they were in 1977, where they went into the background of how the CIA had killed Diem, President Diem of Vietnam, and Mr. Nguyen, how they'd killed Trujillo of the Dominican Republic, how they had actually killed Lumumba, Patrice Lumumba. I believe he was in Africa. I think he was in the Congo. And then, of course, if you haven't read John Perkins' wonderful book, Confessions of an Economic Hitman, he lists a number of people who were actually net world leaders that he was there when they actually knew them and knew them well, and the CIA hired people to kill them. The CIA doesn't do the jobs. They hire other people to do the jobs. Usually they use special forces here in the United States or in places throughout the world. People are trained to be killed. If you listen to my program on deadly assassins, you'll hear my interview with a former Green Beret who was trained when he was in the military to be an assassin. And he was actually given orders on or requested on several occasions to kill people. Mm-hmm. One of them right here in the United States, a Lieutenant Commander Spitzer. Mm-hmm. And we actually have a book on that.
Let me ask something, Doctor. In the organization Skull and Bones, it is widely reported that they have Geronimo's skull, and I think that perhaps they drink blood out of it. And then recently I read that the Indians had filed a lawsuit trying to get that skull back. How is it that they believe they get supernatural powers from that Indian skull?
You'll have to ask somebody from Skull and Bones. But you see, these people tap into this supernatural power. They learn how to tap into the supernatural power. Mm-hmm. It is there. In fact, Rhonda Byrne wrote a book. Now, Rhonda Byrne is on the other side, but her book, The Secret, or her DVD, The Secret, well worthwhile watching, well worthwhile even putting out $17 for her little tiny book, because she will tell you that the power is there for your taking. I advise you not to take that power because it can cost you your eternal soul, and far rather to rely upon our Lord Jesus Christ and to because there is power and protection there, but once you've given your soul to the devil, why, it's gone forever. And, yeah. Of course, we have a wonderful set of DVDs called They Sold Their Souls for Rock and Roll, written by a man who was deeply involved in the occult, was a channeler. And, of course, he put together this wonderful DVD. He's a Christian minister now. In fact, he's even put out a great DVD on Obama, and we'll hope to have that before very long. Mm-hmm. But Sidney Joe Simmel, they sold their souls for rock and roll.
Okay.
Many of our leading people in music have actually made a deal with the devil.
Have you ever heard of a moose? Is there a moose lodge? Are they part of the Masons?
No, they are simply one of the fraternal orders. But
are they one of these kooky?
Probably.
They run around with a funny hat, don't they?
Elks and all of these various fraternal lodges, and most of the people in them, even most of the people in Masons, don't understand what Masonry is about. Mm-hmm. And I'm not an expert on the moose and the elks, but I suspect that literally every organization in America at one level or another is permeated by these dark occult forces.
And it's interesting, you said earlier when somebody asked you the question, were you a member of a questionable group, you said basically yes until you found out what they were all about. And I think it really stands to your credit that, as an example, there may be others within the listening or viewing audience that are in some sort of political organization or otherwise that really they're standing for something that may not be in the best interests of people in general. In fact, I imagine some people are in groups and are being used as dupes or ground soldiers to carry on the nefarious plans of these larger umbrella secret society organizations. So at some point, there has to be a connection between the demonic or the spiritual world with the real world activities, say groups like Acorn. You know, that's probably some representative of a demon who spawned from an acorn, you know, who knows? I don't know how they make that connection, but I made a connection just now. But anyway, I'm just saying, where is the connection point? Is it in a seance? Is it in Geronimo's skull? Is it, dancing naked around a in the Bohemian Grove? Where is the connection point to where there's a transference of the power that these groups are seeking? Where's that transference point?
All of the above and many other places, in Masonic lodges, in the meetings of the Rosicrucians, and their secret lodges across America, in the meetings of the Beothophus in Ojai, California, and in Wheaton, Illinois. They're every place. And believe me, of course, But most people have no idea what it's about. Most members of the Council on Foreign Relations are there to advance themselves and to push this cause of global government, because that's how you get ahead in the world. But believe me, the leaders know exactly what they're doing. And many of them, of course, will attend meetings at places like the La Baca Grande, which is, of course, an occult center in the Colorado, created by Marie Strong. And, of course, there, at least according to an article we have in West Magazine, you'll find Henry Kissinger and his good friend Robert McNamara, who manipulated America into the Vietnam War and then sacrificed to Lucifer, in my estimation, 58,000 American boys who were sent to fight and bleed and suffer and die, but never allowed to win the war. A true great Luciferian sacrifice. There really are people who want to kill off most of the people in the world. Robert McNamara was a piker. He only killed, you know, a few million.
Yeah.
But there are people who really plan to kill literally billions of people in the world. And if anybody doubts that, I suggest they go to Elberton, Georgia, and see the occult monument there that calls for the elimination of over 90% of the world's population.
I tell you
I've
what,
been
though,
there several times.
Okay. Well, I mean, you know, they're dancing around naked. You know, they're drinking concoctions of who knows what, you know, bat heads and whatnot. But
they really do have their satanic ceremonies. Yeah. And their
so
naked ceremonies.
Does the devil
at the Georgia Guidestones?
Does the devil ever appear to these freaks?
I have no idea.
Well, did William Kennedy ever say that? I may not have asked him that question. I mean, at any point.
You'll have to ask William. He's certainly a real expert on this. In fact, we're having William Kennedy as our guest, I believe, at week after next, a couple of programs we're going to be putting out. William Zeng has done a great job of cataloging that, and I recommend his website, williamhkennedy.com. He has a lot of great information on the dark side, and there is a dark side to literally everything going on in the world today.
Let me ask you something, Dr. Monteith. Have you heard anything about an upcoming bank holiday?
I've heard all sorts of stories. I don't know whether to put any credence into it or not. Yeah. Remember, they have thoroughly infiltrated the conservative movement. I don't know if you heard this last week, but there was a fellow named Hal Turner. He was one of the leading conservatives. He was telling you, showing you the Amero coin, you know, we're going to have the Amero coin. And he was making all these preposterous statements. And it turned out he was an FBI informant. He was actually arrested recently because he had made some threats against a judge and given out their addresses. And of course, the FBI arrested him without realizing he had worked until at least 2007, trained as a disinformation a specialist by the FBI, financed by the FBI to lead the conservative movement, and I wonder how many other we have within the conservative movement are playing a part.
So these
and I'm as far as the bank holiday is concerned, oh my goodness, it's going to come here in September or October. I don't know when it's going to come. I doubt very much if it's going to come. I think it's all to get us up and worried, and we spend all of our time worrying instead of doing what we should be doing, and that is educating the people. And we have the opportunity to do it now through the miracle of the Internet, through alternative radio. My ministry is heard on 60 outlets every week. You know, it's an expensive proposition, but we at least have the outlets. People are hearing the truth, and hopefully they're coming to understand the spiritual battle that we're engaged in. And hopefully some of them will come to have a personal relationship with our Lord.
Okay. By the way, we have a picture of the Yale Skull and Bones building there where, as far as I know, what I've heard is that they get you to on the Yale campus. For many claim that Geronimo Skull's there. And that there's a coffin there, and one of our guests said that they make prospective bonesmen get all kind of naked and get in that casket while they're walking around. They're supposed to be telling their deepest, darkest fantasies or something. That way, they can hold it against them if they ever report what goes on the Skull and Bones building. So a lot of that seems like it's just a lot of chicanery and a lot of kookism, you know, just getting all kind of stupid in there. But, you know,
see, most fraternities are very, very ridiculous. But, you know, I joined a fraternity in college, and, you know, but certainly Skull and Bones is different. It ties into a Bavarian secret society. It was formed in 1832, shortly after the Illuminati was destroyed in Bavaria. And basically, of course, it was started by a man named Russell, whose family was involved in drugs and actually smuggling drugs in and out of China. Mm-hmm. And the people in Skull and Bones were actually indoctrinated in these truly satanic rituals from 1832 right up until the very present time. Mm-hmm. They are some of the most powerful people in our nation, but people want to say, well, it's Skull and Bones. They're the ones behind everything. What they have done is they have a number of secret societies. They have the Masons. They have the Rosicrucians. Mm-hmm. They have the Theosophists. Mm-hmm. They have the Lucis Trust. They have the Illuminati. Mm-hmm. They have the Council on Foreign Relations, which is a front for Cecil Rhodes Secret Society. They have the Bilderbergers. They have the Trilateral Commission. And we could go down a list mm-hmm. of a dozen or more. We have the Sabbatean movement within the Jewish religion. We have Opus Dei within the Catholic religion. We have certainly comparable groups within the Protestant religion. They've infiltrated everything, but all of these secret groups working independently, all are working towards this one world government, the destruction of America, the destruction of Christianity, and of course, installing the one world leader, which has been the age-old plan of the mystery religions and the secret societies going back 6,000 years.
When is their plan going to be completed?
Well, I'll tell you what.
They've been doing a lot of years. Seems to me that'll get on with it.
The day or the hour, but I will tell you, things are moving very, very rapidly. We are living at the most exciting time in history. Mm-hmm. And I feel that we're going to see some terrible things happening, especially in America, because as Thomas Jefferson said so well, you know, I tremble for my country when I reflect that God is just, and his justice will not sleep forever. Mm-hmm. And I believe that. I believe God's going to bring his judgment on this country in the not-too-distant future.
And what kind of judgment do you see coming on this country? Is it going to be a fiery judgment? Well,
I believe there's going to be a nuclear war. I believe there's going to be a financial collapse. Mm-hmm. I believe there's going to be famine. I believe there's going to be epidemics. I think there's going to be chaos and violence. I think we're facing terrible times, and this is why I tell people, you better have a personal relationship with our Lord. You're never going to get through this. You can make all your preparations, financial and all the things you want to protect yourself, but the most important thing is your personal relationship with our Lord.
Hmm. Okay. And so, all right. So you would say there's going to be a nuclear war involved here. So that's part of the Luciferian. Is that just a quick way to get rid of people, or is that
absolutely? Do you know a better way to kill off?
Well,
a
you could do it by attrition. You could give them swine flu and do it by attrition.
Yeah, you certainly could. And certainly, we know that the AIDS epidemic is manufactured. How do I know that? Well, I've been on the front lines of that battle for many years, and there's no question. There's not one person in 1,000 in the United States realizes that it's not only HIV, but there, of course, is there a mycoplasm fermentans, and the Armed Forces Institute of Pathology has a patent on this genetically altered mycoplasm that infects almost every AIDS case.
Mm-hmm.
But the average individual has never heard that. And there's a book called Full Disclosure, written by Gary Glum, where a man who was involved with this production, the creation of the AIDS virus, actually was dying of pancreatic carcinoma. He actually went to Gary and said, I'm going to tell you the truth. And Gary writes a great book. It's called Full Disclosure. And you can still get it on Amazon. Of course, our friend Don Scott has written a book called AIDS, The Crime Against Civilization. Mm-hmm. And we carry his book. We carry a book written by one of the leading scientists in the country. It's called Project Daylily, written by Dr. Garth Nicholson. And there he talks about the background of the AIDS epidemic. And he had personally told me he had talked to one of the people who was involved in the process. We know that the CIA set out to begin creating mm-hmm. new and deadly disease in the 1950s. Mm-hmm. And they actually recruited leading scientists across the country. And they were working to create new and deadly forms of disease. And of course, they eventually published all of their mm-hmm. that reports on a yearly basis in something called the Special Virus Cancer Report, volumes 1 through 15. Well, of course, when it became obvious that people were looking, where did the AIDS virus come from, and where did Ebola come from, and where did Marburg disease come from, and where did chronic fatigue come from, and where did Lyme disease come from, the FBI ordered all of those reports destroyed. But fortunately, like most good government officials, they weren't very efficient and left a few of them around. I have several of them myself, and you'll find some of the leading scientists in the United States prostituted themselves and took money from the CIA to work on this process of creating new and deadly diseases.
There's that man with animal thing going on there. Hey, we have a question here from John in the UK. He says, if I'm correct, William Cooper spoke out about Falconelli's book, Mystery of the Cathedrals, in his final broadcast before he was killed. And I guess it's there's supposed to be hidden language used in that book. Were you familiar with that book, Mystery of the Cathedrals?
No, I'm really not, but I think it was a tragedy when we lost William Cooper. He was a very courageous guy.
Okay. Then we have this question from Eric in New York City. Is there any element of truth to the hollow earth theory?
I don't think so, although certainly
the devil got to be somewhere
down there in the center of the earth, and I haven't been down there to check it out. And there may be some spaces down there that keep putting lava out. I suppose some. I don't know what replaces it after it comes off.
I'm wondering if you could remote view and take a remote viewing and go down there. You know, maybe you wouldn't have to leave your office there, Dr.
Well, I'm that's the least of my worries. But there are lots of things we don't understand. Certainly, there are vast quantities of methane down deep down in the earth, and of course, I believe that they are replenishing the oil supplies all over the earth. I mean, amazing amounts of methane. Are being found. In fact, the United States has the largest supplies of methane anywhere in the world. We've got something like 220,000 trillion cubic feet of
And there's a lot of gas in Washington, too. If they could just pipe into the gas coming out of Washington. All right, we have this question. Phil from Florida says, this is evidently a Bible question, what is the sin unto death?
I can't tell you. I'm not a theologian. I believe in the scriptures, but I'm not a theologian.
See, on this program, you could, and during this program, somebody could either crack open a beer, crack open the Bible, or a newspaper, and not necessarily in that order. So we kind of run the strata there. All right, got another question here for you. This is from Bob in New Zealand, showing the worldwide reach of this program. Do you believe that reptilians exist? And of course, we do have Doctor, you did roughly just say something about aliens earlier. I don't know what your stand is, but is there any alien connection to the secret societies?
Well, there's an alien connection to the secret societies. The reptilians, that's David Icke, and I really don't believe that, but I believe that there are really these creatures that have appeared. I mean, they've been seen by literally, thousands of people. UFOs, I believe, are real. I believe crop circles are real. These are supernatural manifestations. In fact, we're putting together now a 4-CD set called The Return of the Giants. And, of course, my interview is with Barry Shamish, who lives here in the United States, but many years ago, he lived over in Israel. And there was a spout of supernatural occurrences there between 1985 and 1999. And there were many people who actually saw these giants there, these giant creatures. They saw crop circles. They saw UFOs, and he has all the DVDs of the UFOs. Okay. But we have the most wonderful 4-tape sets, and it'll be available in a few weeks, called The Return of the Giants, All Supernatural Manifestations.
I'm writing a book, Returning My Fist in Their Big Old Face. All right, here's a question from Jacques from France. What do you think the mark of the beast is, Doctor?
I don't know. Is it an RFID chip? Will it be a tattoo? We don't know, and I think we're foolish to conjecture, but we can tell you that they're moving towards total electronic surveillance of every individual, and an electronic monetary system.
Well,
will not be able to buy or sell unless you have that number and can be tracked.
Well, if you read some of the health bill, that sure looks like a precursor to that, because they're able to look into everybody's bank account, including the doctors, under the guise of healthcare and making sure whether or not you can or cannot afford it. But it sounds to me like they'd really be tracking your buying habits. And yes, I did say I'm writing a book about punching my hand against in the faces of big old alien creatures. All right, we have this Stacy in the UK. Could Nero have been the Antichrist? And I guess that's a historical question there.
Well, I think that he's a prototype of the Antichrist. In other words, down to the ages, we've seen various prototypes of the Antichrist, but none of them are the real Antichrist. The real Antichrist, I believe, is going to appear very soon, along with the false prophets. You see, there is within the dark side a counterfeit of everything in the Christian faith. And the Christian faith has a Father and a Son, the Holy Ghost. The dark side has a dark trinity, Satan, the Antichrist, the false prophet. And I believe, of course, that we're going to be seeing these people become very, very obvious very, very soon. Mm-hmm. Things are moving at the fastest pace I've ever seen. And I've been at this for 47 years. Mm-hmm. And we are seeing these things come to pass today. They're rushing things. It's almost like they're on they're on a timetable. And the census isn't supposed to start until next year. But they've already hired tens of thousands of people to go and actually get a GPS marking on every home in the United States.
Yeah, they were at my house.
And basically, but what people do not understand is they're not just doing it in the United States. They're doing this all throughout the world.
Really?
They're moving very rapidly to get an ID card for everybody in the world. India has 1.2 billion people, and they're contracting with a large American corporation to provide, you know, these biometric identification cards for everybody in India.
And I'm moming rapidly toward arming myself when these coups come marching down my street. Doctor, we have this question from Tom in Kansas. Was Hitler a British agent?
I've heard that, but I really don't think so, other than the fact that he was deeply involved in the occult. Mm-hmm. And the leaders of Great Britain were involved in the occult. Mm-hmm. And there's a wonderful book, it's called Prisoner Number 7, and it was written by Lieutenant Colonel Eugene Byrd. And he was actually the commander at Spandau Prison, where Hess was, Rudolf Hess. Remember, Hess had flown to England. But Colonel Byrd tells a story about the real reason for the flight of Hess. He was going to contact the members of the Round Table. Now, the Round Table were the front for Cecil Rhodes' secret society, all involved in the occult. Mm-hmm. Hess was going at the behest of a man named Haushofer, who was deeply involved in the occult. So was Rudolf Hess. And they were going to try to contact their counterparts in the occult in Great Britain. Of course, Colonel Byrd tells in the book how when our government learned he was writing a book about these things, they came and they confiscated the whole manuscript and they got him forced him out of the army. So,
really?
I actually talked to him many years later and he had no idea what it was all about, but it's a fascinating book. Prisoner Number 7, or I think it's also known, it has several names, The Prisoner of Spandau, but of course it's written by Lieutenant Colonel Eugene Byrd. So the strong occult forces that controlled Adolf Hitler controlled the British government, but they also controlled our government, and they still do today.
Well,
and that is why, of course, at the end of the Second World War, why the CIA helped 10,000, at least 10,000 Nazis to escape to South America.
Really?
Because within the CIA, these dark spiritual forces working with British intelligence, working with certain elements in the Vatican, and they were responsible for the rat line that helped 10,000 of the most vicious Nazis to escape to South America. And you will never hear that mentioned in America, but we have a great 4-tape set on Operation Paperclip, covering not only the rat line, but all the German scientists and the vicious Nazi criminals we brought to America and had them work for the CIA in mind control and creating new and terrible diseases, and, of course, on the rocket program.
Mm-hmm. And I got a 4-tape series on how to get into Area 51 without being shot. Hey, we have a question here from Kim in Canada. Is there really human sacrifice going on in these secret societies, Doctor?
I believe that there are, and there's a great deal to suggest that these things do go on today. You know, there's so many children who disappear here in the United States and are never seen again, and their bodies are never found.
Whoa.
And
where
I remember seeing, of course, Anton LaVey's daughter and his son-in-law on a television program and saying, well, there are no sacrifices. If there were sacrifices, where are the bodies?
Wow.
Well, they know how to get rid of the bodies.
Well,
you know?
How's that?
And these are not the... And certainly, if you read the book, Windswept House, written by Father Malachi Martin, that's Windswept House by Father Malachi Martin, he starts the book. Now, Malachi Martin is a Jesuit priest. He was a confidant of Pope John Paul the 23rd, and he was there when they killed Pope Paul the 6th. But in this book, The Windswept House, which is still available, he opens it with a story of a sacrifice, a human sacrifice being carried out in the basement of the Vatican. Now, it is not a real sacrifice, but it is timed to coincide with a human sacrifice being carried out outside the Vatican. The one in the Vatican is simply a simulated human sacrifice. So I knew Father Martin. I asked him, you know, did this really take place? And he said it certainly did. And if you read that book, he tells you all about the homosexual involvement of the key leaders of the Catholic Church. I mean, it's a great book, Windswept House by Father Malachi Martin. And as he told me before he died under mysterious circumstances, I mean, I had to change the names, but it was all true.
Really? So what are they up to? I mean, is that something that they're going to...
They get power by doing it. They get power by doing human sacrifices.
Okay, so what did they do with...
In fact, Aleister Crowley was thrown out of Italy.
What did they do with the bodies, though?
Thrown out of Italy because he was doing human sacrifices over there.
Okay.
Aleister Crowley, who formed the Order of the Gold, led the Golden Dawn for many years.
What did they do with the bodies, though? I'm not clear on that.
Oh, this is just another one of the secret societies, the Golden Dawn.
Okay, all right.
Aleister Crowley was probably the leading Satanist of the first half of the last century.
So are they eating them?
I don't know.
You don't know if they're eating the body?
I wouldn't be surprised if they did, because they think they would get power by drinking human blood. But I've never been to any of the sacrifices myself. But these are not nice people.
All right, we have this from Kevin in Massachusetts. He says, Dr. Monteith, I want to personally thank you, dear brother, for taking your job as one of God's watchmen seriously and with humility. You've proved your worth, and you, even when you're wrong, you sometimes correct it. You're definitely one of God's humble servants. So there, it looks like you have a following. Doctor, people believe you've over the years, you've been so sincere in your research. Now, have you ever been able to reverse the curse, so to speak? Have you ever felt like you've been able to make inroads that would, say, cause a super secret organization like the goofy Hoot Owl, you know, the Bohemian Grove? I mean, have you ever, you know, got a meeting canceled, or did you get somebody to resign their Skull and Bonesman application or anything like that?
Nope, not that I know of. If I have, why, it's nobody's ever told me. My job is just to get the information out and try to reach people and let them understand the fact that we're involved in a spiritual battle for the souls of men and the survival of Christian civilization. And hopefully the people will, you know, if they're not Christians, they'll certainly come to a personal relationship with our Lord. If they are Christians, it'll draw them closer and make Christianity real, not simply something dry, something you read, but something you see being played out every day, the spiritual battle that our Lord talked about when he was here on earth.
Somebody's making the comparison between Walmart's Orion logo of Sirius and Macy's store logo of a five-painted star. The logos that are in, even Starbucks and different, you know, in AOL, are these innocuous designs, or are they producing or connect to the powers of the evil source?
Well, I'm really not an expert on any of those logos. We do have a section in our website at radioliberty.com on occult symbols and signs. That's at radioliberty.com. There's a segment there on occult symbols and signs. We carry a book by Dr. Kathy Burns on of the Freemasonic and occult emblems. And I doubt very much if those emblems are there, but there are many other,
sort of innocuous.
There are thousands of emblems out there that have occult significance. And certainly the emblem of the Council on Foreign Relations has occult significance. The emblem of the, or the logo of the Trilateral Commission has tremendous occult significance. All of these things tie into this same, what I refer to it as the Brotherhood of Darkness, or the occult hierarchy that rules the world, but I don't know that much about Walmart or Starbucks, and I don't go either place.
Okay. We have this question from Harry in the UK. He says, Jiddu Krishnamurti was groomed to be the Maitreya, but he did not get it. Are you familiar with that person?
And yes, and Krishnamurti
was he denied his Maitreyaship?
Yeah, he was going to be brought to the United States, and he was going to announce that he was the Christ. Mm-hmm. He was to be the leader, and this was, I suppose, in the 30s or so. And he, for whatever reason, he announced that he was not the Christ, and he withdrew his nomination himself from this lofty position.
Yeah, I think him and his organization acted stupidly.
A man named Benjamin Krem, who leads the occult movement, and he publishes something called The Emergence, a pamphlet I take. And, of course, he works out of the Terra Center. He publishes a magazine called Share International, and you can subscribe to it. You get the information up on the Internet. And certainly Benjamin Krem says that the new Messiah will be here very, very soon.
Yeah.
And he claims he's going to be here. And, I mean, he's just waiting for the right moment.
So that's not Obama.
To declare himself. Who he will become the new leader, and he will then carry on what Krishnamurti was supposed to have done, you know, many years ago.
Yeah, so it's not Obama.
No, I don't believe it is.
He's not the Antichrist, and he's not the Maitreya.
I mean, these are all prototypes.
In fact, he's nothing. Basically,
Obama,
he's nothing.
Obama is simply a tool of the Trilateral Commission, but, you know, he's been groomed for a long time for his position, and I believe he's going to be a key player in the end time scenario.
Really? Okay, going to be a key player. We've got to appreciate that. We have this here. Was Chuck Barris really a CIA assassin?
Who is that?
Chuck Barris.
I don't know him at all.
I wonder if that's the guy that ran those game shows from the 70s. All right.
I don't know. I'm not going to comment on something I don't know anything about.
Yeah. Somebody said Benjamin Krem is flakier than Hungry Jack biscuits. All right, we have this here. A question. George W. Bush gave his allegiance to Lucifer at a Skull and Bones initiation, just like his dad did years before and his dad before that. The Democratic Party is no less corrupted by evil. Is America the end time Babylon spoken of by the Book of Revelation?
Some people think it is, alas, Babylon, mother of harlots. And then, of course, you know, the merchants of the world will weep when Babylon is destroyed. Some people believe that that's New York, and, of course, we're the center of trade of the world. Other people, of course, believe it's the real Babylon. All I can say is my personal belief is that we are the biblical Babylon. But, I mean, certainly don't hold me to that. It's just this is what I think. I have no divine revelation, but I believe America, as we know it, is going to be destroyed.
Okay, well, now America seemingly has committed a lot of egregious crimes, and they seem to reach to the heavens, I would agree, but it does seem that America seems to be continuing. A lot of people said there's going to be nukes and things, but in reality, not really much of that has come to pass.
Well, you see, Basically, when it comes to pass, it's going to be too late. You have to understand that we have been transferring nuclear technology to Pakistan. The American people don't know that. Everybody else in the world knows it, but we don't. This is covered in my January 2008 newsletter, available at RadioLiberty.com. That's January 2008 newsletter. It's the Sybil Edmonds story. Sybil Edmonds, and you can get it on the Internet, or you can read my newsletter. It gives you all the references. But did you ever wonder how a second-rate or third-rate nation like Pakistan could come up with a nuclear bomb? Did anybody ever ask that, how that could happen?
I know. Aren't these guys running around on camels out there?
Hell yeah. I mean, in fact, the better ones, a lot of them don't even have camels.
So they're towing it.
I mean, how could they develop a nuclear bomb? Why, we gave them the technology.
So America's kind of hoping they're going to drop the nuke on us?
Well, that was the whole idea. I mean, how can you get a nuclear war going unless you got an enemy with nuclear weapons?
Mm-hmm.
So basically, Sybil Edmonds worked for the FBI, and she actually went to work for them after September 11th. And when she was, of course, translating all of these various things, she speaks Arabic and Farsi and two or three other languages. And so she was in maybe Turkish, too. But she found, as she was interpreting all of these the recordings that the FBI had, that actually there was a spy ring operating at the highest level of the American State Department that was actively transferring nuclear technology to Pakistan. Well, of course, Sybil was very happy about that, as she's a patriotic American. She went to the FBI and said, look, you've got to do something about it. And they said, look, we've tried, but we have orders not to interfere. So, you know, not being, one to take no for an answer, she announced she was going to make a public statement, and the Justice Department put a gag on her and told her that sent her to prison forever if she told the truth. She appealed that gag order to a federal court, and the federal court said, no, in the name of national security, you can't tell the American people we're transferring nuclear technology to Pakistan so they can transfer it to Iran and North Korea and Libya. That's how Libya got the information on the nuclear bombs. So then she went to a federal appeals court, and they turned her down. Then the ACLU appealed the case to the United States Supreme Court. And the United States Supreme Court said, no, this is a matter of national security. You can't tell the American people what's really going on. So she actually went to London in January of 2008, told the London Times. They wrote a series of articles. You can get them on the Internet. The story went all over the world and totally blacked out in the United States.
Really?
That's the Sybil Edmonds story. I hope people mm-hmm. will go to my website at RadioLiberty.com and read it. Now, why would we be actively allowing the transfer of nuclear technology to Pakistan? I thought we were trying to stop the spread of nuclear technology. Well, that's what you tell the common people. But the truth of the matter is, we are preparing for a nuclear war, and you can't have a nuclear war unless you got a nuclear enemy. And that's what it's all about.
Sounds to me like they're preparing us for these kinds of things. Well, we have this here from Fred Levy in Arizona. He says, check out Joe Moshies, who had a standoff with police and federal agents last week in West Los Angeles. When I went to a political sort of a movement or just a gathering, really, called Americans for Prosperity. Basically, they're saying Obama government, get your hands off our health care, basically what it was. But there were some people saying, remember 9/11 and Waco was an inside job and these types of things. So there are, I'm wondering if in the resistance to the Obama health care, is it possible that the government is putting say kooks within the audience to make real American descent to look like they're all kooks?
I think you're probably absolutely right. I mean, it's standard technique. I mean, this what you use agent provocateurs who get up and make all these ridiculous statements. And you can go up on the Internet, you'll see these articles, and they've got a lot of great information. And then they'll tell you, and it's all the Jews, and it's the Catholics, and it's the aliens from outer space, and they're all working together.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, you can't use the source because they made it ridiculous. And then if you ever talk about it, you're going to be accused of believing in black helicopters. Trouble, there really are black helicopters. They've paid visits on a number of my friends to intimidate them. But anybody who talks about them, why, oh, you simply, you've got to be a real kook.
Mm-hmm. We have this question. What do you think about the new flu vaccines?
I think that anybody who takes it, it deserves what they're going to get. Do not take the flu vaccine. It is dangerous. First of all, it could very well trigger Guillain-Barré syndrome. For your listeners out there, to understand what's going on today is like deja vu all over again. Go to the National Vaccine Information Center website. That's www.nvic.org, nvic.org, National Cancer Vaccine Information Center website. Scroll down to the segment on 1976 flu vaccine. You'll see a 20-minute 60-minute presentation. It's 20 minutes long, 60 minutes. Mike Wallace going into the 1976 flu pandemic that they thought was going to kill all the people. Well, it ended up killing one person from the flu and about 300 from the vaccine. Now, today they will tell you only 25 people died, but you will actually hear Mike Wallace in 1979 talking about the 300 Americans who died from the vaccine and hundreds of people got Guillain Barre disease, a progressive neurological problem very much like polio, and many of the people never recovered from it. Mm-hmm. And they're doing the same thing today. They're trying to scare the people about the danger of the swine flu, which is a very mild infection. It's nowhere near as serious as a regular vaccine. As of yesterday, only 552 Americans had died of the disease, and 80% of those had predisposing illnesses. About a little over 100 people have died of this terrible disease. They tell us that 32,000 people die every day of the regular flu, and a little over 100 people have died of this new flu. And now we're going to take this vaccine that contains mercury. But even more frightening than the mercury, it contains squalene, which triggers an autoimmune disease and lupus and Sjögren's disease and progressive neuropathy and amyotrophic lateral sclerosis and dementia and multiple sclerosis and thyroiditis intestinal problems and heart problems and mental problems. And why would anybody in their right mind take an experimental virus, a vaccine for a non-existent program?
Yeah.
They're trying to scare us into taking it. Do not take the vaccine.
Right. We actually have a picture of somebody who's taken that vaccine. We're going to put that up right now, and this is what can happen to you if you take it. All right, we have this question from Cleveland, Ohio. What is the reasoning behind cutting back United States energy production?
Well, the real purpose is to lower our living standards. They want to lower our living standards. Why should we have so much when the people in the other countries have so little? There is a master plan. It is called the Earth Charter. You can get it on the Internet. That's the Earth Charter. And if you can't get it there, why, we'll be glad to provide it for you if you buy any of the products from us and just ask for a free copy. The Earth Charter was written primarily by Stephen Rockefeller, who was deeply involved in the occult. That was the son of Nelson Rockefeller, the nephew of David Rockefeller, who created the Trilateral Commission. He's the permanent chairman of the honorary chairman of the Council on Foreign Relations and a permanent member of the Bilderbergers. But David Rockefeller is the most powerful man in the world, and his nephew wrote the World Charter. If you read point 10A of the Charter, it calls for equitable distribution of wealth within nations and between nations. So what they really want to do is transfer our wealth to other nations.
Really?
I mean, certainly, if we're going to have equitable distribution of wealth between the United States and say Ghana in Africa or China, we're going to have to transfer our industrial production.
I'm going to be transferring my bullets to their head. Is what's going to happen?
Basically, of course, what they're going to do is get our electricity up so expensive, and they're going to break down the electric system, and we're going to end up like the people over in Iraq before we invaded Iraq. Mm-hmm. They had a first world nation. I mean, certainly Saddam Hussein was a rotten guy, but CIA agent in the 50s, he was kept in power by our own government, and they carry a book written
why
by
are you, why do we want to give nukes to towelheads? I really don't understand that.
Right,
we have
What's
this,
that?
Never mind. We have this question here.
Well, anyway, they want to lower our living standards. Okay. That's why they're going to disrupt the energy system.
Okay. Will we see troops walking down the streets of the United States?
I don't know. I believe that whether there'll be American troops, whether there'll be Blackwater or, professional mercenaries, whether there'll be foreign troops, I don't know. They can always use the National Guard. Of course, they've killed off most of them, sent them overseas, where many of them gotten permanently injured or damaged or certainly... they have a counterpart of the Gulf War syndrome. Many of them are coming back ill, just as they did after the first Gulf War. But I believe that we are moving towards a military dictatorship. I believe that they do have their detention camps in the United States. In fact, we have a talk called The Planned Police State with a great syllabus that gives you all the documentation for the fact that there really are concentration camps in America. They really have rejuvenated all the detention camps they had for the Japanese during the Second World War. They spent $82 million to refurbish them. They gave Kellogg, Brown, and Root, a division of Halliburton, $385 million to build new detention camps. We actually have a DVD. It's called Bob Wire Over America. You can see them. We have a four-tape set on concentration camps, the DVD on concentration camps. We have the Iran-Contra hearings where the congressmen were trying to talk about this plan for a dictatorship in America, and you can actually see something if you get the amazing clips from Radio Liberty, a concentration camp special, and you'll see Congressman Jack Brooks trying to say, I understand that there's a plan to suspend the Constitution and start rounding up Americans, and you'll hear Senator Inouye from Hawaii saying, oh, we can't talk about that here, and Jack Brooks persists, but I've read about this in the newspaper, and I just want to find out if this is true, and Inouye says, we cannot talk about this in open session, have to be a closed session,
right.
And
I
then you'll
that.
Hear Congressman Gonzalez,
yep.
who is head of the House Banking Committee, saying, yes, there really is a plan in case of a national emergency, to suspend the Constitution and start rounding up Americans.
Yeah.
It's real. And we have, you can actually see this, it's the concentration camp special available from Radio Liberty, and I know you got my telephone number up
yeah.
here.
Well, if they kill us, we really can't be their slaves, I think, is one point. All right, here's a question.
Well, but you see, they really do intend to get rid of the majority of people because they don't need that many slaves.
Really?
They just need a few.
Okay.
A few million,
they make efficient slaves too, I think that could also help their cause. So,
right.
We have this question: are there insiders trying to take the world over through natural disasters?
Yes.
Really? How so?
Well, they tell us that there's a plague out there. You know, it's a swine flu, a natural disaster. I don't believe it's natural at all. But of course, they're going to use this to create chaos and, I think, terrible illness. And recently, of course, Baxter had sent millions of doses of influenza vaccine to Europe. They were going to be millions of influenza vaccine. Now, this is the regular vaccine, not the swine flu vaccine. This is within the last 6 weeks. They sent millions of doses to Europe that were going to be given to all the nice people over there who wanted to keep from getting the flu. The Czechoslovakians took the vaccine, and they injected it into ferrets, which are very comparable to human beings, and all the ferrets died. Then they checked it, and you know what they found? Why, there was a live, deadly avian flu virus, not a vaccine, but a live avian flu virus in all of these doses of vaccines. And if they hadn't checked it, millions of people would have died.
Really?
Wow. And in fact, it was very, very comparable to what they call Marburg disease. And actually, that happened back in 1967, where, of course, all these monkeys came from Africa. They were going to sacrifice them and use their kidneys to grow a polio virus so they could actually then create a polio vaccine and give it to all the people in Europe. But the monkeys started to die. And then, of course, the people who kept the monkeys started to die. And they sent them to the hospital, and then the doctors and nurses started to die. It all came from the laboratory monkeys.
Really?
I wonder why.
So, like, one of them got out?
I believe that the disease was in the laboratory monkeys. If the laboratory monkeys were going to be used to be infected with the virus, and they were going to use their kidneys to actually create this vaccine they were going to give to all of the people in Europe. Now they want to give everybody in the world this swine flu vaccine. Do you really trust them?
I don't trust them any further than I can throw them. Hey, we've got a question for you. By the way, we have on our newsmaker line tonight, Dr. Dan Monteith. Question, why do so many microbiologists seem to be turning up dead?
Well, because I think somebody's killing them.
They know something that we don't know?
They know too much.
Really?
I mean, certainly this man who went to Gary Glum, and I mentioned earlier this story of where did AIDS come from? And this man was dying of pancreatic cancer, and that's the only reason he went to Gary Glenn and told him who created the AIDS virus. It's killed tens of millions of people throughout the world. And you go into South Africa today, Botswana, you go into Zimbabwe or Zambia, 40% of the adult population has the disease. They're all going to die. The greatest crime ever committed. We've already killed over probably close to 600,000 people in the United States. Another million are infected. They're all going to die. And this is a created disease. But this man who told Gary Glenn the story that you'll find in the book Full Disclosure, this man, of course, he would never have dared come forward except he was going to die anyway. I think a lot of these microbiologists who've had these strange accidents knew too much, and they had to be eliminated.
So is the swine flu man-made?
I believe it is. In fact, there's a fellow named Victor Marsden, who is an investigative reporter. You can actually see his interviews up on the Internet, but I've talked to Victor specifically, and he told me, you know, he had been contacted by people who were scientists who didn't want to come forward themselves. They wanted him to come forward saying that this is a created virus. You see, it basically, it involves a North American and avian flu and a swine flu, and then an Asian swine flu, and then a human component. So they've combined all of these various components to make this a highly contagious disease, but it doesn't infect swine. I mean, really? Pigs don't have it. They don't even carry antibodies to it. They can't contract it. It's designed for human beings. It's a designed illness.
Really?
Yep.
Okay.
In fact, we even have a new 4-tape set on the swine flu. It will be available through our ministry in about 2 weeks. And you can order that now. And, Chris, that's my interview with Victor Marsden, where I basically, you know, pin him down. Now, did they really tell you this? And he said, yeah, they really told me that.
And they know exactly
what they're doing. They just don't want the public to know. But the real danger is not the swine flu. The real danger is the vaccine.
Yeah. Well, see, I have a 4-tape set, How to Choke a Orangutan. A question from Nevada. Dr. Monteith, has Tom Horn shown you his picture of a girl being fed to a creature by the world leaders? He says he has one, evidently.
I don't know. I haven't heard anything about it.
Okay. All right, let's go to another question.
And I doubt that. I mean, I think that Tom's pretty good, and I don't think he'd have anything like kooky.
Then I got a 2-tape set, How to Punch an Alien in His Big Black Eye. We have this question. How about the seed vault in the Nordic Islands hoarding? Is that the New World Order hoarding seeds for theirself, Doctor?
That's for when they start all over again, for our listeners out there.
Do they kill the rest of us out here?
When they kill the rest of us and destroy the food supplies and have the great famine.
You have to understand
the famine is coming. If you read Revelation 6:8, they will tell you, and behold, I saw a pale horse, and the rider upon him was death, and Hades followed short behind, and power was given to kill a quarter of the population of the world with the sword and with famine and with pestilence and the beasts of the world. Mm. Well, basically, Bill Gates and some of his other billionaire friends have spent hundreds of millions of dollars to create this seed bank. And it's up, you know, somewhere above the Arctic Circle on a little island off of one of the Scandinavian countries. And there they're collecting and putting in all of these seeds for corn and wheat and all these other things. And so they can start again after they've killed off everybody here on Earth and killed off all of our food supplies.
Okay, let me ask
you
something.
How they're going to create the starvation.
Okay.
The genetically modified food is not safe. It creates sterility. It creates all sorts of diseases. Animals, of course, you know, get infertile, eating the genetically modified corn. And yet, of course, they're feeding it to us all the time. It's hard to get corn that is not genetically modified. They know what they're doing. The seed bank is for when they start in all
I'm
over.
I'm breaking in. I don't care where it is. I'm breaking in and getting my stuff. You know what I'm saying? Question now. There is a biblical passage that said, had they known who they crucified, they never would crucify the Son of God. Had they known what that was really doing. Now, I know that the devil acted stupidly.
But now it does seem, wouldn't he realize and wouldn't he know the prophecy that at some point he's going to get his stupid butt kicked? So aren't these plans really not going to work out anyway?
Well, I think we're going to go through a living hell before, of course, this all comes to an end. I think we're in for terrible, terrible times. Mm-hmm. I think you see, people try to figure out what's going on today. There are all these secret societies, and the leaders of the secret societies have a plan. But Lucifer has a plan as well. But God has a plan as well. And we're seeing this whole thing enacted before our very eyes today. We are living in the most exciting time in history. Frightening, terrifying, but when you know the Lord, you're just not going to worry about it.
Really? So I meant, the people that do, are they going to escape some of these things, or are they just going to have less torment?
I think we're going to go through terrible, terrible times, because remember, the rain falls on the just and the unjust.
Mm-hmm. And I believe there's probably a lot of just people that voted Obama right into office.
I'm sure there are. A lot of good people who really don't understand what this is all about.
Mm-hmm.
My job and your job is to help let them understand the true spiritual nature of the battle that's underway mm-hmm. today.
Mm-hmm. So when there is this transference of powers from these evil communications with the spirit realm, do these spirits say, okay, you're going to do my bidding, so I'll go out and get you voters? Or are these demon spirits showing up as acorn workers? I mean, how are they paying back the Bohemian Grove bestiality people over there, and then you've got Skull and Bones drinking blood out of a dead guy's head?
Well, I think that you can see what's happened in the music world. What happens when you give your life to the dark side?
But when did they get their power, though? So do these forces then go out and manipulate hordes of other skanks or whatever and get them elected? Or do they tell bankers to transfer money to their account? How do they get paid back once they sign their allegiance over?
All I can say is you become very, very successful. You can get power and wealth, mm-hmm. and you can get fame, and you can mm-hmm. get sex, and you can get drugs, but at a terrible, terrible price. I mean, well, certainly some of these people have become fabulously wealthy. Some of the people, like J.P. Morgan, who was mm-hmm. deeply involved in the cult, fabulously wealthy, and Andrew Carnegie, and Henry Ford, and the Rockefeller family, and the mm-hmm. Rothschild family, and all of these people, mm-hmm. directly or indirectly, tied into the occult, tremendous wealth.
Well, see, they're kind of
tremendous rewards. Okay. Tremendous reward for going and giving themselves to the dark side.
Well, see,
one day they're going to have to stand before the great white throne of judgment, and the great white throne of judgment is the judgment of the damned.
Well, it seems to me, though, that for instance, now some of the political leaders are kind of like the guy in the movie Oh Brother, Where Art Thou, the guitar player who said he sold his soul to the devil because he wasn't using it, you know. So, I mean, I would imagine, and some of them are selling off their soul like that, not getting nothing back. But I was just wondering then, you know, they have to be making deals with the devil in some way. And are you saying that they are getting those agreements signed and sealed within the umbrella of a secret society?
I don't know how they do it. But I will tell you that there was a 60-minute interview with Bob Dylan, and we actually got the transcript of it. I watched it. I got the transcript. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the fellow who's interviewing Bob Dylan says to him, why are you still on tour? You know, you've made all the money in the world. You've been doing this for 30, 25 years.
You can't even hear what the dude's saying.
Why are you still doing this?
Wait a minute. Here you go. Here you go. Is this what he sounds like? It's about me. It's about me.
No,
what is that? What does that mean?
He doesn't sound like that at all.
Bob Dylan, wasn't it?
If you're going to be, that's ridiculous. Why would you say that?
That was Bob Dylan, right?
No, this was Bob Dylan.
That's what he sounds like.
He was simply talking to the man who was asking him. Mm-hmm. And he said, why are you doing it? Yeah. And Bob Dylan said, well, I made a deal. And the man said, well, who did you make the deal with?
He sold his soul to the devil.
He didn't say that.
Oh, okay.
He didn't say that. I mean, why would you make that statement? That is a ridiculous thing to say.
Well, he may be. He's making agreements
with me. Well, why don't you go and you can get the the recording yourself. I was going to tell you what he said, but I would suggest to our listeners, they can get it off of 60 Minutes Archives. They can purchase it and of course, find out what Bob Dylan actually said in response to the devil, okay. As response to the question, who do you have the deal with?
Yeah. Well, I guess I interrupted you with that one. But I would imagine that some people using Obama language made deals with the devil, and they got wee-weed because they could not get the power that they were seeking. And that's my point. I think sometimes the devil turns the table on them, and they don't get what they were expecting.
Well, let's put it this way. You should never, of course, try to make any sort of a deal with any supernatural force.
Yeah. And, okay, so once they make a deal with the devil, then, is it true that they get, you said they get sex, drugs, rock and roll, these types of things, and money in their bank account, but in the end, they have to give that all up because they can't take it with them. So
that's right.
They don't get eternal life.
That's right.
And they're probably going to wake up in hell.
What I would suggest is that people get the DVDs, They Sold Their Souls for Rock and Roll by Pastor Joe Schimmel. I think it's the best explanation of the questions that I'm being asked. Mm-hmm. They Sold Their Souls for Rock and Roll. They're available to my ministry. You'll get them any place. You can get them off the Internet from Pastor Joe's ministry. But they really are a beautiful example of what happens when people do make an agreement with the dark side.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, Dr. Stan Monteith, appreciate you being on the program tonight. This audio and video will be posted tomorrow. And, of course, now we've got a link to your website there, and there's an 800 number there. Now, what happens when they call the 800 number?
They'll talk to one of the people who works for us there, and there's an exchange. And if they want to get the material, fine. They can go to our website at RadioLiberty.com. We recommend our book, Brotherhood of Darkness, our talk on the Forbidden Secret, our talk on the financial Armageddon. It'll give you everything you need to know. And then, of course, we have all sorts of videos that take you into the secret societies that dominate the world today.
Excellent, excellent. Well, Doctor, thank you so much for being on the program tonight. Can we have one again sometime?
All right, fine. God bless.
All right.
Bye-bye.
You've been listening to The Edge with Daniel Ott. To subscribe to The Edge newsletter, log on to theedgeam.com. That's theedgeam.com, where you can find out about our guests and topics discussed on the air. The Edge has been brought to you by EBN, the Edge Broadcasting Network, providing affordable live web streaming to the world. Visit EBN at ebnlive.net. That's ebnlive.net. Until next week, for The Edge Broadcast, I'm Chris Moore. See you on The Edge.